All right, so we'll say good morning. So today's daf is daf ayin, and we'll start two lines from the top, right by the two dots. Ve'ein not l'nirshus. So if you remember again, so the Mishnah gave a whole variety of these different cases. So the situation over here that the Mishnah is dealing with is the following. The Mishnah is talking about a case of Hayu Shnayim Osrim Zeh Al Zeh. If there were two individuals who asked on each other in the chaser, I'm just reading from the Mishnah over here. Osrim Zeh Al Zeh, She'echad no sein rishus v'noltal rishus. One person has the ability to go ahead and yield his rights and accept rights from others. Shnayim nosin rishus. Two people have the ability to go ahead and give up rishus, yield their rights. Ve'en notlin rishus. But they cannot accept the rights of others. So says the Gemara, ve'en notlin rishus. Lamali, so why do I need this particular case? Meaning it's obvious already, we've learned this already before. So the Gemara says, Tzricha, lo, Tzricha, afal gav da amri le, kani amanas lahakma. So also, I remember, the reason in the Mishnah why two can't receive the rights of others is ultimately because the two still answer on one another, as Rashi pointed out. So since they still answer one another, therefore the Kabbalah Sarashusmas doesn't make any kind of quantitative or substantive difference. So the Gemara says, okay, it's obvious. What do I need the Mishnah to teach me that? So the Mishnah says, because we're talking about a case over here where the other members of the Chatzar yielded their rights to the two, but yielded the rights to one of them on the condition that he yields the right to the other guy. So at the end of the day, all of the rights of the Chatzar will ultimately be vested in one. So I might have thought that since the intention is that all of the rights should end up with one, that should work. Therefore, the Gemara says, it still doesn't work. So the Gemara goes weiter. Another interesting case. So what happens? There are five shishrim together, and one of them forgot to go ahead and participate in the Erev. So also, you've already seen in the Mishnah. What do you do in those circumstances? You do bittul rishus. So remember, this is all Jews right now. So one individual has the ability to yield his rights in the chatzar to someone else, and ultimately, although he loses his rights in the chatzar, it allows everyone else to carry. So the Gemara says, what happens? Five people live in the chatzar. One forgot to participate in the Eruv. Kishu mevatel rishuso, when he goes ahead and he's mevatel his rishus, sorach levatel lechol echad ve'echad. Although, an interesting question. Does he have to go ahead and yield his rights to all of the members of the chatzar? I mean, does he have to go one by one by one to all the members of the chatzar? Or perhaps just yielding it to one of the members of the chatzar is enough? Amrlei. So also remember, this was Abaye asked this question of Rabba. So Rabba now responds, Amalei, Sarech Levata Lechol Echad Ve'echod. Rabba says, you have to go ahead and yield your rights to every member of the Chatzar. Eisve, Abaye raises a kasha. Echod Shelo Irev, no sein reshuso le'echad she'iris. So we'll say, now, what Rabba's going to do, what Abaye is going to do, is list an entire brisa with a number of different cases, some of which work, some of which don't work. So we're going to go through the list, and then the Gemara is going to analyze each of these cases independently. So case number one. So, Eisei, Echad Shelo Irev, if somebody did not participate in the Erev, no sein reshuso le'echad she'iris. He can go ahead and yield his right to someone else in the chatzar who did participate in the eruv. Shnayim she'iruvu. If you have two people that participated in the eruv, nosnin reshusan le'echad shelo irev. Then remember, if two people participate in the eruv and they want to yield their reshus, they can do so to one person who did not participate in the eruv. Ushnayim shelo irevu. And if you have two people who did not participate in the eruv, nosnin reshusan l'shnayim she'iruvu. Ola echad shelo irev. They could yield their rights to two people who did participate in the eruv, or to one person who did not participate in the eruv. Aval lo echad she. So those are all the cases that are permitted. Aval lo echad she irev no sin reshuso le echad shelo irev. But someone who made an eruv can't go ahead and yield his rights to someone who did not participate in the eruv. Ve'in shnayim she irevu no sin reshuso le shnayim shelo irevu. And two who participated in the Eruv cannot yield their rights to two who did not participate in the Eruv. Ve'in shnayim shelo irevu, nostin reshuson l'shnayim shelo irevu. So the Gemara says, and furthermore, two do not participate in the Eruv cannot yield their rights to two. Also two do not participate in the Eruv. Suppose I remember, to make a very long story short, remember our sugi over here. Rabbi quoted this whole brisa, that he really only needed one line of this brisa. Remember, the question that came up was, if one person is yielding his rights in the chatzar, and there are multiple members of the chatzar, does the individual have to yield his rights to all of the members of the chatzar? Or is it enough just to yield it to one member of the chatzar? This was the question that Abaye asked of Rabbah, and Rabbah responded that he has to go ahead and yield his rights to all of them. Abaye ultimately brings up a kasha, and Abaye's kasha is from the Reisha. Katani miyas Reisha, echod shelo irev, if somebody did not participate in the Eruv, no sein rishu so le echod she irev. Right, so we'll say, what was the first statement of the Braisa? The first statement of the Braisa is that one person did not participate in the Eruv, he could yield his rights to another person who did not participate, he could yield his rights to someone else who did participate in the Eruv. So the Gemara says, hey, Chidami, what's the case? If there's not another person in the Chatzer, then Bahadi Man Eruv. So we'll say, who else did he make an Eruv with? Ela Pshita, rather, it's clear, the Ika Achrina Bahade, there's someone else in the Chatzar, the Katani Le Echad She'irev. And yet, what does the Braisa say, Rabosai? The Braisa says that if I did not participate in the Erev, then what could I do? I could yield my rights to one of the people who did make an Erev. The inference from that is there are others in the Chatzar as well. And what do you see from here? That when yielding your rights in the Chatzar, you don't have to yield your rights to every single person, rather, yielding to one is enough. So the Gemara says, how would Rabbah answer this? Because remember, Rabbah says that you have to go ahead and yield your rights to every member of the Chatzar. What's the case here? Dahava umis. The case of here, Rabbah say, was there was someone else, and what? He died. Look at Rashi. Dahava umis. So the easiest case, according to Rabbah, is where you had, let's say, a caravan that set up shop in a field and surrounded themselves in a chatzar, surrounded themselves and made a chatzar. The reason Rashi is bringing that up is because we'll say later on we'll get into the case of a person who inherits. So in order to avoid any inheritance issues, if we just put this as a case of people who are traveling together and therefore set up shop in the middle of nowhere, there's obviously no inheritance when the person in the chatzar dies. So what happens? So the Gemara goes on. So Rabbah says, that it must be, what's the case over here? The case is where, yes, there were more, let's say, we'll call it there were three people. Let's keep it easy, there were three people. And what happens now? On Shabbos, we'll call them, is Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. So now Levi wants to go ahead and yield his rights. Rabbah says, technically speaking, would have had to yield his rights to both Reuben and Shimon, but what? Reuben died. And because of that, he only has to yield to Shimon. So the Gemara says, "E the hava umis, ema seifa." So now, if you're telling me that that's the case, Rabbah say, remember. So then, case number one, according to Rabbah, the Mishnah is like this. In the Braisa, case number one. Remember how the Braisa read? The Braisa read, "Echad shelo irev." If somebody did not participate in the irev, no sin reshuso le echad she irev. He goes ahead and he gives over his rishus to a person who did participate in the Eruv. So according to Abaye, that statement in the Braisa is a riot to the fact that when yielding your rishus, you only have to do so to one person. You need not do it to every single member of the Chatzar. According to Rabbah, that case is there was more than one person in the Chatzar, or one other person in the Chatzar, but he died. And that's it. Obviously, you don't have to yield your rights to the person who died. So one says, okay, if you're going to set this up as a case of somebody who died, if that's the case, Ema Seifa, look at the end of the Braisa. Aval ein echad she'irev, no sein reshuso le'echad shelo irev. So let's say, remember, the Seifa of the Braisa seems to be a mirror image, or I should say just the reverse case, of the Reisha. So what did the Seifa say? But someone who participated in the Eruv cannot go ahead and yield his reshus to someone who did not participate in the Eruv. V'id dahava umis. Now, if you're telling me that this is a case of more than one individual, then amai lo. Then why can't he yield the rights? Ela pshita de ise. Rather, we'll say it must be that the case of the Reisha, therefore the case of the Seifa, is where there is another person who is alive. Umi de Seifa ise, Reisha nami ise. And since the Seifa is where there's another person who is alive, the Reisha must also be dealing with another person who's alive. And Rabbi said, remember, if the Reisha is dealing with another person who's alive, then what? Then that poses a kasha to Rabbah. Because Rabbah is the one who said, when you yield your Reishas, you have to go ahead and yield it to every single individual. And yet the Braisa indicates that all you have to do is yield it to one. To which the Gemara says, why? Midi irya, hakidisa, v'hakidisa. I don't understand. Why do you have to assume that the Reisha and the Sefer are talking about the same cases? Why can't each of those cases be different? Why can't the Reisha be a case of where he started out Shabbos with three, one of them died, and that's why you only have to yield your Reishus to one of them, because there's only one surviving member. Whereas the Sefer is talking about a case where there's more than one member of the Chatzar who's alive. To which the Gemara says, Teda, Diktani Sefer the Reisha. After a look at the last case of the first part of the Braisa, Ushnaim Shalo Irvu, Nosnin Reishusan, Lishnaim She'irvu, that if you have two people who did not participate in the Eruv, they can yield their Reishus to two people who did participate in the Eruv. Lishnaim in, li'echad lo. What do you see from the Rabbah's side? That when yielding your rights, who do you have to do it to? You have to yield to two. You have to yield to two and not to one. So I'm sorry, let me say that differently. That you have to yield your rights in the Chatzar to every single member of the Chatzar. The Abayi, Omer Abayi will say, no. My lebeis, what does it mean you have to yield it to two? Le'echad mi beis. It means to one of the two. Ihachi, lisni le'echad, she'irev, o le'echad shlo irev. If that's the case, Abayi, then why doesn't the Braisa say it? Why don't you just go ahead and say to one? To which the Gemara says, Kasha. You're right, that's a good question. So now we'll say, now the Gemara goes through each of the cases in the particular Braisa. We'll say, I will tell you, the halacha as codified by the Rambam in the Shulchan Aruch is that when yielding rights, tzarech levatel lechol echad ve'echad. That when yielding your rights, you do have to yield those rights to every individual. But we'll say again, it's not as overwhelming as it seems. Remember, chatziros were small in general. Right? You didn't have a lot of residents in the chazir. It's not like you have to think about it. You have 1,000 people in a chazir, 100 people in a chazir. You had a couple of families that lived together in a chazir. But the idea is you would yield your rights to each and every one of them. I'm sorry?
Why would you choose not to?
Choose not to what?
Not to participate.
Why would you choose not to participate in the Eruv? You're cheap.
Maybe you forgot.
You didn't think you were going to be home for Shabbos. Yeah, I should have started with that one. I shouldn't assume. Right? You guys, no, I think you didn't think you were going to be home for Shabbos, and then your car wouldn't start, and it's too late to participate in the Eruv. You forgot, you got home late.
Yielding your rights to everybody doesn't mean I have to go speak to everybody. It just means I have to say.
No. It actually means you go to each individual and you yield your rights to them. Yeah.
Every Shabbos. You can't do it once across the board for the whole year.
Well, you wouldn't want to yield your rights. Why would you want to do that? Yeah. No, but you would be, meaning, yielding your rights, remember, is an accommodation. No one's ever lechatchila yielding their rights. You're yielding your rights because you're in a compromise because you couldn't participate in the Eruv. So a person would never proactively yield their rights for a year. You'd participate. No, but I'm saying, but logically, why would you give up the rights in your chatzar for a year? I'm sorry?
If you're going away for a year.
Oh, okay, all right. I said,
if
you're going.
If you do it that way, do it.
No, but remember, even yielding your rights, we're going to see, is only a din when you're present. If you're not present, it's not a problem. So if you, I'm saying, you're never going to have a case where you never have to yield your rights proactively for a year. Remember, I say, very important, yielding your rights, this whole idea of bitul reshus, is an idea that Chazal gave us in a situation where you're stuck because for some reason you were unable to participate in the Eruv. It's never a proactive measure. It's always a reactive measure. So we'll say, now the Gemara goes through the different cases of the Braisa. Echad shelo irev, no sin reshuso le'echad she'irev. Somebody who did not participate in the Eruv could yield his rights to someone who did. La'abaye di'ise. So according to Abaye, this is where he's actually present. The Kamash Malon De'ein Tzarech Levatel Reshus Lechol Echad Ve'Echad. So according to Abaye, this would be a case of where there are other members of the Chatzar, and the Braisa is coming to teach us that you need not yield your Reshus to every single person. The Rabbah, according to Rabbah, we have to understand this case, is the Hava Umis, is the individual who was alive at the onset of Shabbos, however he died during Shabbos, below Gazer Dezimnin De'ise, and we're not worried that if we allow this, that you will come to allow this also in a case of where the person is alive. Fine. Next, Ushnayim She'irvu, a case of two people who participated in the Eruv. Nosten Reshusan Le'echad Shelo Irev. They can yield their rights to one person who did not make an Eruv. Pshita, that's obvious. Ma'udatim, what would I have thought? Kivan Delo Irev, liknisei, I might have thought that since this guy did not participate in the Eruv, maybe we should kenas him, maybe we should penalize him. Kamash well on that we don't. Ubeis shelo Eruv, nostin reshusim l'shnayim she'eruv. And if you have two people who did not make the Eruv, two people who did not participate in the Eruv, they could yield their rights to two people who did participate in the Eruv. L'rabah, tani seifa, l'giluye resha. According to Rabbah, this seifa case comes to shed light on the earlier case. La'abaye, beis shelo Eruv, it's trichale. According to Abaye, no, you need this case, the two people did not participate in the Eruv. Why? Sakodai tchamina, I might have thought, Ligzar Dilma Asi Levatule Lehu. I might have thought that you may come to go ahead and yield rights to two people who did not participate in the Eruv, which we already saw in the Mishnah doesn't work. Kamashwan that we're not concerned about that. Meaning we'll say we're not concerned that if we allowed to yield rights to two people who did make an Eruv, that you'll come to yield rights to two people who did not participate in the Eruv. Next case, Ola Echad Shalo Irev Lamali, or to one person who did not participate in the Eruv, why do I need that case? Now the tema, hani midi hecha de miktsasen irvu, u miktsasen lo irvu. I am at a thought that all of this applies only in a situation where some members of the chatzer participate in the irv and some did not. Aval hecha de kula lo irvu. But in a case where no one participated in the irv save one person, kadesh lo tishka. I might have thought liknis sinu. Let's penalize them that no one should be able to yield the rights to them. Kadesh lo tishka toras irv. In order that the kinds of the irv not be forgotten, kamashon that we don't penalize them. Aval in echad she'irev no sin reshusola echad shelo irev, but one who participated in the erev, cannot yield his rights to one who did not participate in the erev. So the Gemara says la abaye tana sefa. I'm sorry, let me say that again. Aval in echad she'irev, but a person who participated in the erev may not yield his rights to one who did not participate in the erev. La abaye tana sefa legaluye resha. For Abaye, this last case comes to shed light on the earlier case. The Rabbah, Aidi de Tana Resha, Tana Nami Sefer. And according to Rabbah, who says that you have to be Mabata Lechol Echad Ve'echad, so this case, the Rabbah, Aidi de Tana Resha, Tana Nami Sefer. Since it included the case, the first case in the Brisa included this case as well. Ve'ein Shnayim She'ervu, Nostin Rishusan L'Shnayim Shelo Ervu. And two who participated in the Eruv can go ahead and yield their rights to two who did not. Two participants in the Eruv cannot yield their rights to two who did not. Hasu lamali, why do I need this additional case? Lo tzricha debato lechad minay lechavrei. Because what's the case, Rabbi Osai? Two who participate in the Eruv yield to two who did not participate in the Eruv. And then what? And then one's going to go ahead and yield to his friend. Ma'o detema lishtri le. I might have thought that since all the rights of the chatz are going to end up in the hands of one person, that it should be permitted. Kamash mala, no. Why? Kevam de be'idna de batil, lo havela shir yusev ahay chatzar. Because since at the time of the bittel, the ultimate intended recipient did not really have a domicile within the chatzar. De'ein shnayim shelo irvu, nosin rishusel neshnayim shelo irvu. And two who did not participate in the eruv cannot go ahead and yield their rights to two who did not participate in the eruv. Hasulamli, why do I need this case? Lotzricha da amri kani amenas lahaknos. Because we'll say even in a case where, let's say, one says to the other, acquire my rights on the condition of going ahead and giving it over to another, which also means that the rights of the chatzar will end up in the hands of one, which could be okay, even though that's the stated intention, it still doesn't work. Okay, last line of the Avamad Aleph. So we'll say again, just to be clear, that entire Braisa was actually, obviously it's on topic because it's about Bittul Rishus, but the only reason that Braisa was brought up was because of the first case. Abaye wanted to bring a raya from that first case in the Braisa, that when you're yielding your rights, you need not yield to every member of the Chatzar, but all you have to do is yield to one member of the Chatzar. And then it became Machlokes, Abaye, and Rava about how to understand that first case. According to Abaye, ultimately, again, it showed there might have been multiple members of the Chatzar, but Lamaisi only have to yield to one. According to Rava, he understood the case as being what? Where there were other members, there was another member of the Chatzar, but he died. And in that case, obviously you yield to the remaining member of the chatzar, but should there be other living members of the chatzar, you would have to what? You'd have to yield to each and everyone, which is how he paskin. Boy minhei Rava me Rav Nachman. Rava asked a shayla from Rav Nachman. Yoresh, ma'u shivat Rosh. So it was an interesting case. Take a look, last Rashi on the daf. Yoresh, Sheshachach Aviv v'lo Irev umeis b'shab. So we'll say, listen to this. We'll call him. Let's call him for a moment, Avram. So Avram has a residence in the chater, and Avram forgets and does not participate in the Irev. And what happens? And now Avram dies on Shabbos. What happens when Avram dies on Shabbos? I'm sorry, v'lo bitol rishuso. And Avram was not mevatel his rishus. We'll say, remember, if there's one thing we've seen now, is that if you did not participate in the Erev, standard protocol would be what? That you would yield your rights to the other members of the chatzar. And the reason for that is because as much as it won't allow you to use the chatzar, what does it allow? It allows everyone else to use the chatzar. But now let's say Avram dies. So Avram didn't participate in the Erev, and he didn't even have a chance to yield. He would have yielded his rights, but he died. Right? Death has a funny way of getting in the way of things like yielding your rights in your chatzar. Right? So he died. So now what happens? Well, so what happens when Avram dies? Yitzchok inherits his chatzar. So now what's the shayla? So boy minei Rava mei Rav Nachman, Rava asks Kash from Rav Nachman, Yorish Maush Yevato Rishus. When Yitzchok is Yorish, remember we'll say in Halacha, it's not like inheritance law, where let's say certain things don't occur until the lawyer goes ahead and executes the estate. And meaning in Halacha, father, let's assume this is a simple case. Let's assume Yitzchak is an only child. So when Avraham dies, Yitzchak is the owner of the property. That's it.
That's actually a common law in the property. Real property
devises on
death.
But who does it go to?
The firstborn. They could go to the firstborn. In old common law.
But that's not...
No, Jewish. In English law.
In English law.
And in Europe today, it's exactly the same. The inheritance steps right into the shoes.
Interesting. Okay, good. Baruch Hashem. Good. So in Halacha and in English law. So the reason why this is important is because Yitzchak becomes the owner immediately on Shabbos. Now the shaila is, can Yitzchak be mevatel the reshus of his newly inherited property? Obviously, he can't turn in the Erev, it's already Shabbos. Erev has to be in the Erev Shabbos. But can he be mevatel reshus to the other members of the chatzar, our base? So the Gemara says, okay, let's analyze this. And this is actually a very interesting question. So the Gemara says, Heicha di'i boi la'aruvei me'esmol motzi ma'ariv bitulei nami matzi mevatel. So let's analyze this. Do we say that the only time that you have the ability to go ahead and yield rights is when you could have technically joined in an Erev of yesterday. So I'll say, essentially what the Gemara is asking over here is, how do we view the dynamic of Bittul? What is Bittul Rishus? Is Bittul Rishus a right that is accorded to someone who could have participated in the Erev, but for whatever reason, did not? So if you could have been part of the Erev, but were not part of the Erev, now the way in which you could go ahead and maintain the rights of everyone else in the Chatzar is through Bittul. So again, let me read those words once more. In a case where if he wanted to join in the Erev yesterday, he could have joined in, Bittuli Nami Matzel Mevatel. Then if he did not join in the Erev, then what? Then Lamaisi has the ability to yield his rights today. Aval Hai, but this Yitzchak, this son, Kevan di boile ure me esmo lo matzi me'ariv. We'll say, right, if Yitzchak wanted to go ahead and participate in the Erev yesterday, what would we have told him? Nothing doing. Why? You're not a member of the Chatzar. Remember, yesterday, Erev Shabbos, Avram was alive. Father was alive. So Yitzchak has no shaychus to the Chatzar Erev Shabbos. So maybe we'll say that since he didn't have the ability to join in the Erev, therefore what? He also doesn't have the ability, not also, but therefore he does not have the ability to yield rights in the chatzar to the other members of the chatzar. Or in other words, also what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Bittul is the other side of the coin of Erev. If you had the rights of Erev, you have the rights of Bittul. So lo matzi ma'arif. Gevon di'i bai le'eruvi me'esmo lo matzi ma'arif lo matzi mevatel. That's one possibility. O dilma, or the other possibility of Bosa is what? Yoresh kare da'avuahu. Or maybe we say that the Yoresh, an inheritor, literally translated, is like the leg of his father. And we'll say, what does that mean, Yoresh is the leg of his father? Maybe we say that essentially the Yoresh is an extension of his father. So therefore, Avraham's rights ultimately are given to Yitzchak. So Yitzchak is considered to be an extension of his father. So now when we look at Yitzchak on Shabbos, did Yitzchak have the right to participate in the Erev yesterday? The answer is yes. It's just yesterday his name was Avram. Today his name was Yitzhak. So we'll say, this in general, by the way, is a fascinating discussion in terms of the laws of Yerusha, because we know that there are certain things for which a Yorish is considered to be an extension of his father, and certain things for which a Yorish is not considered to be an extension of his father. So for example, you know, if the father had debts, so the Yorish is going to be mechuyev for those debts. Yet, remember, the extent of the Yorish's liability is limited to what? Is limited to the assets of the estate, right? Meaning that the Yorish can never become personally liable for his father's debts. But again, as far as his new standing in the estate, he is. So we'll say, it's just a fascinating question. So now the Shaila is, really what the Gemara is asking is, how do we view the Yorish? Is the Yorish a new person? Or is the Yorish an extension of his deceased father? The nafkamina is, if he's a new person, then really he didn't have the rights to participate in the Erev of yesterday. If he didn't have the rights to participate in the Erev of yesterday, then he doesn't have the rights to a Bittel today. On the other hand, if he's an extension of his father, then by definition we view it as if he did have the right to participate in the Erev of yesterday, and therefore he had the rights to participate in the Erev of yesterday, he has the rights for what? For Bittel today. So really it's a two-pronged question. Question number one is, what is Bittel? What is Bittel? Is Bittel an extension of the laws of Eruv? And therefore, if you could participate in Eruv, you could participate in Bittel. Or is Bittel its own self-standing concept? And number two is, how do we view the relationship between the inheritor and the deceased parent? Is he a new entity or is he an extension? So Amarle, Ani Omer. So we'll say, remember, this was, Rava was asking this from Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman responds, Amarle, Ani Omer, Mevatel. So Rav Nachman says, I say that the Yorish has the right to yield. He could do Bittel Rishus. Why Rav Asik? Because apparently, again, according to Rav Nachman feels that the Yorish is an extension of his father, and therefore he inherits his father's rights, and therefore we say that as if the Yorish did have the right to participate in the Eruv, and therefore he has the rights at Bittel as well. V'hani debei Shmuel tanu in Mevaklin. But in the yeshiva of Shmuel, they say that no, a Yorish does not have the right to yield the rights of his rishos, or yields the rights in the chatzar. Esve, they raise the kasha. Zaklal, this is the principle. Kol shemutu lemiktsas Shabbos, chutu lechola Shabbos. Anything that is permitted for part of Shabbos is permitted for the entirety of Shabbos. We'll define each of these cases in just a moment. The kol sheneesar lemiktsas Shabbos, and anything that is usher for part of Shabbos, neesar lechola Shabbos. Anything that is prohibited for part of Shabbos is prohibited for the entire Shabbos. Chutz mimevatel rishus. The exception to this rule is bittel rishus. Now, I will say what the Braisa simply seems to be saying is that the status of certain things is essentially concretized at the onset of Shabbos, and whatever that status is at the onset of Shabbos, that status remains even if what? Even if circumstances change. So the Gemara says, let me give you the examples. What's the first case? Kol shehotu lemiktsas Shabbos, motu lechol haShabbos. What's the case of something that is permitted for part of Shabbos that remains permitted for all of Shabbos? Kigon irev derech haPesach. So what's an interesting case? So let's say you made an eruv by way of the doorway. What's the case? So we look at Rashi. Irev derech haPesach, shtei chaseros. Let's say you have two side-by-side chaseros. Upesach echad b'nehem, and there's an entrance way between them. So we'll say again, the easiest way to visualize this case is I have two chaseros, one side by side. There's a wall that divides them, and there's an opening. There's an entrance way in the wall. And what happens? V'irvu ayide osa pesach. And what happens? I make an iruv for the two chaseros through that doorway. So now I can carry unrestricted from one chaser to the next, says Rashi. V'aytir Rashi. And what happens? Ubishabis Nafla kinegdo mapolas vinistam, and I will say what happens on Shabbos. So there's the part of the wall caves in, and what happens? The entrance way is blocked. It's stopped up. So now what? So Rashi says, mutarim lishtamish mizulazu. You could still carry from one chatzer to the next. How would you do that? Ayide zrika v'derech chorim kitanim. So number one, you could throw stuff over the wall, or you could pass stuff through small holes in the wall. The af agav de in eruv ben beis chaseros below Pesach, and even though you can't have an eruv between two courtyards, two chaseros without an opening, kidisnan bechalon shebein beis chaseros hacha shacha Shabbos hoel behutra hutra. So also here's the case of where what? Since at the onset of Shabbos you had a proper opening, you had a proper eruv. Therefore, what Rabbi Osai? even if the opening is closed up over the course of Shabbos, it still remains permitted to carry from one chatzer to the next. So that's not, we've seen these concepts before. So that's case number one in the Braisa. Case number two, again, so Kigon, Erev Derech Pesach, you made an Erev to the entrance to for the two chatzeros, Vinistama Pesach, and the opening is closed up, it is still permitted to carry chatzer to chatzer. Or, for that matter, Erev Derech Chalon, if you made an Erev through a window, and what happens, remember, if you have a chalon, if you have a window that's four tzvachim by four tzvachim, that satisfies the minimum dimensions for a Pesach as well. And then what happens? The nistama chalom, and the window gets plugged up, and you can nevertheless still carry from one chazit to the next over the course of Shabbos. Zeh haklal, when the Braisa says this is the principle, what does that come to include? La suye mavui shenitla korosav o lechayiv. We'll say this is actually interesting. This also comes to include what? This comes to include a mavui, where if the korah or lechi was taken away. Well, so remember going back to the beginning of Erevin. So remember, if you have a mavui, right, you have this other way that goes into Shurab. The halacha is that you have to have some kind of recognizable reminder at the entranceway of the mavui, either a vertical beam or a horizontal beam. Let's say you had it there on Shabbos, but then it was taken away over the course of Shabbos. The Braisa says you can still carry in the mavui. Look at Rashi. Shari. And also remember Rashi's pointing out over here that according to the Man D'Amar of the Braisa, that Lechi and Korah operate because of Mechitza. They actually create a Mechitza. So even though now, when you remove the Lechi and the Korah, you have removed the Mechitza, nevertheless, Shari, Hoil the Ishtari Ben Ashmashos. So we'll say the chiddush of this case, let's say over the case of the two chatzeros, is that in the case of the two chatzeros, even though the entranceway is plugged up, the wall is still there. In this case of the mavoi, the mechitza is literally gone. But nevertheless, the principle is the same, which is, since it was there at the onset of Shabbos, even though now circumstances changed, you're still permitted to carry the mavoi. Good. What's the next case? Kol shene'es ra lemiktas Shabbos. Ne'esar lechala Shabbos kula. Anything that was usher at the onset of Shabbos, retains its Isra status for all of Shabbos. What's that case? Kegon shnei batim b'shnei tzidei Rosh Sarabim. What's the case of the Rabbi Osai? Like you have two homes on the two sides of the Rosh Sarabim. Ve'kifua nochrim mechitza b'Shabbos. Well, so we had this case. And what happens? On Shabbos, goyim come along, non-Jews come along, what do? They build a mechitza around the two cases. Also remember, this was the case of the two homes that are on opposite sides of the width of the Rosh Sarabim. So now what happens? Nachrim come along, build a mechitza, in essence, making the area between them into what? Into now Rosh Hashayachid. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, since that area began as a Rosh Sarabim, that area retained its identity as Rosh Sarabim, and therefore it's usher to carry in there. So the Gemara says, Zaklam. Now Rashi points out over here, V'kifuim nachrim mechitza, the asurim levatel zelazeh, kedei sheyishtamish po echen mehem. One can't yield his rights to the other in order to allow the other to use the area. Zahoro v'yuhavu boi eruvim me'esmol, lo matzi me'arvi, aval ilo havahasam elechai ba'isra. So remember, so Rashi just gets into over here, mechitza nasa, but Shah's not going to get into it. The point is over here, that since lemaisa they could not have entered into an eruv yesterday. Why? Because it was a Rosh Sarabim yesterday. Therefore, the area remains restricted today as well. Zeha klal, when it says this is the principle, what does that come to include? La suye mai, la suye meis nachri b'shabbis. It comes to include a case of what? Of a non-Jew who dies on Shabbos. What does that mean? Look at Rashi. Zeha klal duresh nami kaya sefa, la suye meis nachri b'shabbis. Dechevon di'ibor la'aruve me'esmol, lo motzi ma'arvi, hashta nami lo mabatis. We'll say, what's that case? That case where I live in a chatzer with a non-Jew, and before Shabbos, I did not go ahead and rent his rights in the chatzer. What happens if you don't rent the rights of the non-Jew in the chatzer? It precludes you from making the eruv. Let's say he died on Shabbos. So remember, we'll say, if technically speaking, let's say if he died on Friday, he would not aser the eruv. But since he died on Shabbos itself, since at the onset of Shabbos, we could not make an eruv because we did not rent his rights, therefore, even though now he dies on Shabbos, essentially the status of the chatzer is solidified at the onset of Shabbos. So what does the Gemara goes weiter? V'katani, and what did the Braisa say? Chutz mimevatel rishus. So Rabbi, I remember. So now, what the Braisa said, Lamaisa, is essentially the status of an Eruv, is solidified at the onset of Shabbos, both Leheter as well as Leisr, with one exception, Mevatel Rishus. The one exception seems to be is that she could be Mevatel Rishus. So Rashi says, over Chutz Mi Mevatel Rishus, Sheshachach Velo Irev, Av Api Shene Esra Lemiktas Shabbos, Yeishlo Takana B'Shabbos. So we'll say this is very interesting. So now, the one exception to this rule is I didn't participate in the Eruv, right? Which means now, again, my non-participation in the Eruv poses a problem for my fellow Chatzim members, and yet what? I can still be Mavatel my Rishus on Shabbos itself. So Bittel Rishus is the one exception to this rule, that even though at the onset of Shabbos, my non-participation in the Eruv ushers on everybody else, I could remedy this circumstance, I could remedy the situation on Shabbos by being Mavatel my Rishus. Now Rashi points out over here the following. He says, Umidelo katoni, chutz mishebita rishos, the yoresh shmamina yoreshlo. Now I will say, interestingly enough, that what the Gemara is being medayik on over here is vekatoni chutz mimevato rishos, ihu in yoresh no. So also what the Gemara is dashing over here is mevato rishos sounds like it's referring to the person who owned the chutzer at the onset of Shabbos, but does not refer to a person who what? Who may have inherited the chutzar on Shabbos. So the Gemara therefore is saying, you see from here, that the only person who has the rights of Bittul Rishus is who? The person who owned the chutzar at the onset of Shabbos. But the person who inherited the chutzar on Shabbos does not have the rights to Bittul Rishus. To which the Gemara says, so ihu in yoresh lo. So Gemara says, I don't understand why you say that. Ema, chutz mitoras bittul rishus. So don't change the wording of the brisa. The brisa doesn't have to read chutz mimevatel rishus, but rather the brisa could read what? Chutz mitoras bittul rishus. The exception to this rule is what? The concept of bittul rishus. And who has the concept of bittul rishus? Both the original owner as well as the yoresh. Esve, where is the kasha? Echad mevinei chatzer shemes. If one of the members of the chatzer died, v'niach reshuso le'echad min ashuk, and he left the will, right, and he left explicit inheritance rights to someone from the shuk. What does it mean, someone from the shuk? It means someone who does not live in the chatzer. So the Gemara says, now the shaila is, what's going to happen for Shabbos? Everything depends when he died. Biva Ogyom, if he died during the day, then oser, then ultimately what, Rabosai? Then Lemaisa, now there's someone who owns the home in the Chatzar, and the assumption is he did not participate in the Eruv, and therefore his ownership passes on everybody else. Mishachashecha, however, again, if the owner of the home in the Chatzar dies when Shabbos already started, then what? Eino Oser. He doesn't ask why Rabosai, because since they began Shabbos in a state of Eruv, in a state right together of togetherness, therefore even though one of them dies on Shabbos, doesn't impact the Eruv. The Echad min Ashuk Shemes. And similarly, someone from the shuk who died, v'aniach reshuso le'echad mibnei chatzer, and he left property to someone from the nechatzer, miba odyom, if he died while it was still day, eina oser, he does not go ahead and aser on anyone. However, I'm sorry, I lost the place here. Echad min ashuk, thank you, let me just read that again. Echad min ashuk shemes, if a person from the shuk died, v'niach reshuso le'echad mibnei chatzer. And what happens? So we'll say this is somebody who owned property in the chatzer, but didn't necessarily always live in the chatzer. So what happens? And then he leaves his rights in the chatzer to another member of the chatzer. Mi ba'od yom, if it happens while it's still day, meaning Erev Shabbos, eino oser. Because we'll say that now, the new owner of that property will make an Erev for both of his properties. Haver mishech ha-sheicha. But again, if it happened while it was already dark, or Shabbos already started, then oser. Then he answers. So the Gemara says, what? And Abba said, the reason we assume he answers is because we assume that the guy who owned property in the Chatzar, but was not living there, did not participate in the Eruv. Therefore, Abba said, even though now, so Abba said, listen to this case. So this is the case we really want to focus on. So I have somebody who owns property in the Chatzar, but did not really live in the Chatzar. So now the Gemara says, if he died Erev Shabbos, so then it doesn't pose a problem. Why? Because now remember, who's inheriting him? A person is another person who lives in the chatzar. So the person who lives in the chatzar is now going to own two properties, his property, as well as the property of the guy from the shuk. Now, if he dies Erev Shabbos, not a problem, because then he'll enter both properties into the air prior to Shabbos. However, what happens if the guy from the shuk dies on Shabbos? So the Gemara assumes, oser. The Gemara assumes, oser. Why oser? Because the assumption is, that the guy from the Shuk did not participate in the Erev prior to Shabbos. Now the guy from the Chatzer owns these two properties on Shabbos, and this property that he inherited is on Erev property. So the Gemara says, Am I Oser? Nevatel. Why does he Aser? Let him just yield the rights. We'll say, meaning that the B'nai Chatzer just went ahead and inherited a new piece of property. He can't enter it into an Erev because it's already Shabbos, but let him yield the rights of this newly inherited property. So the Gemara and Rabbo said the fact that he can't do that seems to indicate what? That you can't do Bittul Rishus on property inherited on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, My Oser, what does the Braisa mean when it says Oser? My Oser Nami Diktani Ad Sheyivato. The Braisa, the Gemara says, no, maybe what the Braisa means is what Rabbo say? It means that Lemaisa, it's only Oser until when? Until he does Bittul Rishus. So according to this approach, the Braisa may not be precluding the Yorish from doing actual Bittul Rishus on Shabbos. The Braisa is just saying that it's Oser until he actually does Bittul Rishus. So I will say, where we stand right now is the Gemara has not resolved this issue. The question still, the Gemara is going to go on, the question still stands as to whether or not when someone inherits property on Shabbos, does the inheritor have the rights of Bittul Rishus or not, seems to be a machlokis ultimately between Rava and Rav Nachman to be continued.
When he's not living there.